and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden, and I've got a special guest joining me today, Jonathan Banning. Jonathan works with the Temple Terrace Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. He is scheduled to be with us 1 week from today for our Wednesday evening summer series. Jonathan is going to be speaking on My Heart Still Burns Within. We have been having a special series where we have it all built on the hymn, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory. And each one of our guests have taken a small lyric or phrase from that, and it has been a great study. We're looking forward to having Jonathan 1 week from today. But Jonathan, I've got the privilege of picking your brain a little on the podcast episode. I appreciate you joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and it really means a lot that you want to have me on and that we can talk like this, and I'm especially looking forward to seeing everybody at Charlestown Road just almost a week,
absolutely,
a little over a week, I guess, from today. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for having me there, too.
Sure. It's hard to believe. I think we locked you in scheduling-wise last October or November, and late August seemed a long ways away, but we're excited that it is on the horizon for sure. In talking with Jonathan over the course of the last couple of days, how best to fit it into what's going on in the life of our church family, but also anticipate where he's going to go, I floated the idea of talking about character in the midst of chaos. And we have said a number of times on a variety of different episodes that this has been a chaotic spring, a chaotic summer. I'm sure that it's been just as chaotic in Florida as it has been in southern Indiana. But it seemed like it would be a good bridge between some of the things that we've been talking about here recently on Sunday mornings in sermons, but also this idea that you're going to be speaking on, My Heart Still Burns Within. Of course, that's a reference to that walk that Jesus had with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus opens up the scriptures to them, and suddenly they realize who he is, and he vanishes from their sight. And they remark that their hearts were burning within them as he opened up the scriptures to them. One of the things, of course, that the gospel does, it shapes our character, and that character helps us to endure, even in the midst of disappointment, heartache, heartbreak, uncertainty about the future. We throw that word character around a lot. And so, Jonathan, why don't we start right there? From a biblical point of view, when you hear the word character, what are you thinking?
Well, I think that many of us are acquainted with how we typically define character, which is that character is who you truly are. We all understand that there are times when we put on fronts in front of people, that there's a facade, or there's a mask that we put on, that we want to convey a certain image that may not be actually who we are deep down inside. And so when the Bible talks about character, I think it's pretty clear that it's talking about not the alter ego that you wear around your friends, or you wear at work, or you wear when you talk to your boss, but it's who you truly are deep down in the recesses of your heart. It's your true identity. Since we all love college basketball, it's nice to be talking to people in the North, because I know everybody likes college basketball up there like me.
Yes.
You guys will appreciate this quote from John Wooden, the legendary John Wooden, who said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." And I think when Mr. Wooden says that, Coach Wooden, he agrees with what the Bible says about character very, very much. So if we look at Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 verses 3 through 5, we have a reference there to the idea of character. And there the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, Jason, when you read those words and you see the word character, you notice how the word is modified. It's proven character, and that helps us see what character is in Paul's eyes. It's who you really are. It's who you truly prove to be when you're put to the test and when people really dig down deep inside of you.
And so we know that character, God-shaped character, Christ-like character in the midst of chaotic times, if it is calm and stable and steadfast, people are going to notice, right? If you're a man or a woman of character, there is light that is going to shine in the darkness, and you're going to stand out. And that not only, of course, it speaks to the opportunity that we have in the midst of chaotic or discouraging times to be a light in the world. I think it also speaks to our responsibility as disciples of Jesus, right? That especially in the dark, light is needed. Especially in times of chaos, calm, steadfast integrity is needed. And so if we think about not just the opportunity, but the responsibility, how can these distressing times maybe threaten our character, undermine our character, and not just lead us to miss out on an opportunity, but maybe to borrow from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, have that light that he wants us to shine, in a sense, be put under basket by our the way that we are responding to distressing times. How does difficult times threaten character?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, in the sense that in the dark is when the light shines brightest. That's a great illustration, and that is a. That's a responsibility that we have. And we notice that in the other people that we see around us. You know, when somebody's life is going great, they have their job, they have their family, they're not experiencing loss, pain, or suffering, or hardship. And they live godly in that. We're impressed by that, sure. But it's much more impressive when somebody loses their job or loses a member of their family. And through all of that, you see them remain exactly the same. Like that. That is a tremendous statement about what it means to be a Christian and what the hope that Christ gives us can do to our lives, the kind of joy it can fill us with. But it's also true that some people don't respond in that way. And sometimes when we find these times of trial, we don't respond very well to those. And while it is true that tribulation threatens our spiritual well-being, and it is true that tribulation threatens our relationship with God, I think it's also true that tribulation is more of a revealer than of something that tears us down or makes us worse. You know, we commonly think about ourselves that under normal circumstances, like, we are great people. Like, when everything is going smoothly, like, that's who I really am. And when bad things happen and I start acting ungodly, I tell myself, well, under normal circumstances, I'm a good person. But when trials come, that just makes me so much worse. And I think the Bible teaches us something different than that. That tribulation doesn't make us worse. That what it actually does is it reveals who we truly are.
Very good point. No, I completely agree with you. And I think some scriptural examples would be great of that. I think that's where you were headed. What did you have in mind?
Well, when we see a little bit of that in 1 Peter chapter 7. 1 Peter chapter 7, one of those famous verses that we go to when we talk about suffering, right? We always are going to 1 Peter, Did I just say 1 Peter chapter 7?
I knew what you meant. 1 Peter chapter 1.
There you go. That's exactly right. And there the apostle says, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so you see what Peter says about suffering and about being distressed by various trials is not that it tears you down, but what it does is it reveals who you really are. And so in that moment of trial, in that moment of suffering, you find out what you're really made of. Just like when you put a piece of metal through the fire and it refines, you find out how much gold, how much metal is actually there when all the impurities are cleansed out. You got another example of that, an interesting example in 1 Corinthians. I guess we don't have to go there. We don't have to read these verses if you don't want to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing about his work as a preacher and the work that other preachers are doing. And you told me I don't have to worry about time. Let's go ahead and read those verses.
Go right
ahead. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about, he's using the illustration of these building materials as the building that a preacher or teacher does by building Christians and building faith in saints. And so in verse 12, he says this, "Now, if any man builds on the foundation," that's the foundation laid by the apostles, "with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." And so what Paul is telling the Corinthians and what he's talking to them about with preachers and teachers is that you don't really know how good of a job you've done as a teacher when everything's good. You find out how good of a job you've done when the fire comes, when the trial comes, and you see what's left standing after the fire has blazed through. And I think that's a really, really good point, that the trial doesn't take away from us. What it does is it reveals who we truly are. And by the way, it's worth mentioning that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the word he uses there for "will test the quality," that Greek word there is the same Greek word used in Romans chapter 5 when he talks about proven character. That's the idea, that trials reveal who we are. They prove who we are deep down rather than tearing us down and making us worse.
Sure. Such a powerful point, and something that Christians need to seriously think about, especially in the midst of a chaotic season like we're in, that I can't use this as an excuse to behave badly. Trials and tribulations are not an excuse to act just like the rest of the world, right? We are to be like Christ every day, everywhere, whether the sun is shining or there's a storm raging around us, whether things are exactly the way that I planned and always hoped and thought they would be, or whether or not my calendar has become an absolutely useless piece of paper in this chaotic season. I love the idea that these trials, they reveal what's going on down in our hearts, in the recesses of our souls. And so if you were going to put that, okay, we see some scriptural wisdom there from 1 Peter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're going to put that in today's terms, in just everyday sorts of situations, can you give us some practical examples of that?
Yeah. And I think that this situation we have right now, it really provides some good examples of the way that changing the way we see trial and what it does to us really can help us see ourselves more clearly and honestly improve our character when we see ourselves more clearly. And so you think about something like the face mask controversy, right? You got people all over the board on that, and you know, on both sides, the people who the people who are pro-mask and the people who are anti-mask. They say things like, I am just losing my patience. I really have lost my patience with this whole controversy. Well, the truth is that a controversy like this, it doesn't really take away your patience. It doesn't diminish your patience. What it really does is it reveals the length of your patience. It reveals the quality of the patience that you've built in your character. You can also look at that when it comes to quarantine and the tensions that might cause at home. You know, lots of people say, look, this quarantine, it's hurting my marriage. Like, we're spending too much time together, and we need to get away from each other. Actually, okay, back in Houston, there was a man who ran a restaurant we used to go to for lunch all the time, and he always used to say, because his wife worked with him, he said, it's too much time together. He says, the way life should go is 8 hours sleep, 8 hours work, 8 hours wife. And so he thought they spent too much time together because they work together. But you know, we say that about the quarantine. We're spending too much time together. It's hurt our relationship with each other. Well, no, not really. What it's doing is it's revealing the true quality of your relationship. And so when you experience sickness or loss, people say that damages my faith. It tore down my faith. Well, no, not really. It actually just revealed how strong or weak your faith really is. And here's the one that I think is especially important and comes into play in all of our relationships, is when somebody commits an offense against us, when someone hurts our feelings or gossips about us or says something rude or does something thoughtless, we say that's really sapped my ability to love them. I can't love them when they act like that. Well, what it hadn't really taken away your ability to love, what it's done is it's shown the true depth of your love for that person. Because true love loves somebody and treats them correctly, even when they commit offenses against you. And the fact that you're having trouble loving this person when they're putting you through this trial, that shows that maybe your love doesn't go as deep for this person as it should. After all, Jason, you know, you think about our Lord Jesus. When do we say his love, the depth of his love, is best revealed?
Absolutely, in the ultimate sacrifice of the cross.
Absolutely. The depth of his love is revealed when he is put on the cross. And when he is suffering that and being persecuted by the hands of these men, and he says about those very men, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The depth of our love is revealed when people hurt us or commit offenses against us. And so I just think it's important that we understand and we keep that perspective that God, when God allows tribulation to strike us, he is not allowing us to experience something that tears us down and makes us worse. But what he's doing for us is he is letting the fires of trial reveal who we truly are. He's letting us see where our character is deficient, because the truth is, what the Bible teaches is that it is in chaos that we truly see who we are.
That makes me think of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and, you know, they're crying out and asking Jesus to do something. Don't you care that we're about to perish? And, of course, Jesus calms the storms, and then he turns around and he looks them in the eye and he says, we need to talk about the level of your faith, right? The smallness of their faith was revealed in the midst of that storm. I think such a powerful, powerful idea. I appreciate you providing those practical modern examples for us, and just such an important reminder for Christians. Here in the middle of the week, just an ordinary Wednesday, I'm not taking my cues when it comes to patience from the world. I'm not taking my cues of what love for others looks like from just what everybody else in the office or at school or in the neighborhood does. I'm taking my cues from the Savior, who's not just told me he expects this of me, but has perfectly modeled it for me. And that absolutely ought to have an impact on my heart. Now, Jonathan, I want to step carefully here because I don't in any way want to infringe on what you're going to be talking with us about a week from today. But let's just connect these dots before we close. How will a heart that burns within for God, that love, that zeal, practically speaking, how can that help us through trying times?
Yeah, and I really appreciate that for you helping connect those dots. It's a very, very insightful way to do it. I think that the first thing we have to appreciate when we talk about having a heart that burns within us, when we talk about having zeal, we got to make sure that we define that properly. And I think oftentimes we don't, because we think oftentimes that zeal is energy, it is enthusiasm. The one cartoon character that comes to mind when you think about zeal is one of your favorite characters from Winnie the Pooh. It's Tigger, right? He's just bouncing around everywhere, loves to bounce with his little friend Roo, and they go all over the place, and they're just a bundle of energy. They bounce all over the place, and sometimes they ruin things. And we think that's what zeal is. That's what God wants me to be as a Christian when he tells me to have zeal. I just need to bounce around all over the place and be excited. But biblically, I just don't think that catches it. I think biblically what you see when the Bible talks about zeal, when it talks about burning hearts, is it's not just enthusiasm, although that is a part of it. I think that it's much more about a radical and a passionate devotion to him. And that will help because I'm gonna make that definition in the sermon when I get there. But it's okay. That's when I good. Get there, I'll stir you up by way of reminder. There you go. But that's the idea. It is a radical and a passionate devotion to him. It is a devotion and dedication that says to God, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'm going to follow you no matter what it costs and no matter what it takes. And so when we have that attitude burning within our hearts, it helps us in the moment of trial. I think first of all, in two ways it does. And first of all, that's because it helps us avoid making some bad decisions when we are in the moment of trial, right? It keeps us from doing the wrong thing, and it keeps our character intact. It keeps it solid. And so in the moment of trial, when I'm enraged about something or when I'm scared about something, it keeps my temper in check, because ultimately deep down, I want more than anything else to please God. And I know that the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And when I'm feeling scared in those moments of trial, it keeps me from being a coward, because I know that who is there to harm me if I prove zealous for what is good? That's 1 Peter 3:13. And so in a lot of ways, that heart that burns within me, it keeps me steadfast and immovable, because what I want more than anything else is to please God. And that means standing firm in this moment of trial. But I think also having a heart that burns for God, it helps us respond well when tribulation reveals those deficiencies in my character. You know, I don't know about you, Jason, but I have noticed some deficiencies in my character since about mid-March. Have you noticed that too?
Yes, 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 absolutely.
It's definitely helped me see some things about myself that are wrong and that need to be fixed. And so when a trial reveals some flaw in my character, I have two choices that I can make about that. The first choice that I can make is I can tell myself, well, this is a moment of trial. I can do what you referenced earlier and just let myself slide by, because it was a really difficult situation and I can't be expected to do the right thing in a hard situation. I'll do the right thing when everything gets back to normal. And I think that is not the choice that zealous people make. The choice that zealous people make is the second one, that they consider what they've learned about themselves in the moment of chaos, and they take that as a cue to improve their character. That's what zealous people do. They use trial and what it reveals to become more pleasing to God, because ultimately that's what they want more than anything else. They don't want comfort. They don't want pleasure. They want to please their great God.
Yeah, very well said. That's the path of discipleship, right? We see that modeled, I think, in someone like Peter, who on that darkest of nights, when Jesus was about to demonstrate, as you said, the depth of his love for Peter and for all of humanity, Peter even denies that he knows Jesus and goes off and weeps bitterly. But you see throughout the book of Acts, of course, with God's help, with the leading of the Spirit, you see how much Peter grows to the point that, you know, we spent time in his first letter and allowed him 2,000 years later, in a sense, to be our guide. Or you think of James, the brother of the Lord, who, like his other brothers, thinks that Jesus is out of his mind. But by the time you get to that powerful, practical letter of James, he's got not only absolute, priceless, timeless faith that we can learn from, but great insights about trials, right? In James chapter 1. You remember what he said there in James chapter 1 and verse 2. I think you even had shared that maybe that was the way you thought would be good to draw this episode to a close.
Absolutely. There were James 1 verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, the guy in the office next to me, somebody you guys know very well, Don Truex, he always likes to say, I think it's such a great line. He likes to say, nobody gets out of this world unscathed. And that's not just a harsh reality. What James helps us see is that is absolutely necessary. You know, we may say it's such a terrible thing that this trial came upon us. Well, James helps us see that trial actually, it helps complete us, that we can't really be perfect and complete. We can't really grow the way we need to grow without trial. And so it is the fires that we endure that really produce endurance in us and help us become the kind of people who are perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Really, really well said. And I hope that members of our Charlestown Road Church family have been listening. I know that this has been an encouraging conversation for me, and I would just encourage the members of our church family to realize this is just an appetizer for what we will have, Lord willing, 1 week from today. Let me remind you that if you are local, especially if you're a member of the congregation here, but even if you've been in the habit during these strange times of tuning in on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. via our live stream, we have one speaker before Jonathan. That is this evening. Brother Jonathan Perkheiser will be with us at 7 o'clock p.m., and he is going to be looking at another one of those lyrics, I Know You're Alive. That the resurrection comes before the hearts that still burn within that Jonathan will be talking about. If you are planning on joining us tonight, and if you have not already, please take the time at charlestownroad.org to check in. Let us know so that we make sure that adequate seating and spacing is available. We're looking forward to having Jonathan Perkheiser with us tonight, and Lord willing, a week from today, Jonathan Banning. Jonathan, I really, really appreciate you joining me, carving out the time to give us a little bit of a clue as to where we're heading, but also to give us something practical to look at and evaluate here in the middle of the week. I will close with one question. You mentioned college basketball, and I moved here from Central Ohio, where in Central Ohio, if the ball is round, they don't hardly know what to do with it. They like that oblong ball with points on the end. But we are living right here in the heart of college basketball country. And so who's your team?
Oh, it's the Wildcats, man. University of Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a small but very vocal contingent of people here who will be very excited to hear that.
As they should be. As they should be.
And there are some who will welcome you as a brother in Christ, but probably disapprove of the shade of color. But, we'll set that aside.
We'll try at least.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and definitely safe travels next week. Lord willing, we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. To our listeners, thank you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope that it's given you something to think about and a little more fuel for your journey. We look forward to seeing you this evening, Lord willing, and of course, this Sunday morning. Have a great day.